So let's start this Wednesday with Patrick Dangerfield. A sports fan first. We'll get to his role as the president of the Players Association in a moment, but just sports fan Paddy Dangerfield. Good morning.
Good morning, Jared. It's been sensational, hasn't it, the Olympics? It's whet the appetite for sports lovers, that's for sure.
Has it drawn you in more than you imagined it was going to?
Yeah, I remember maybe 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, thinking, knowing how difficult it's been with the AFL, is it something that's really needed? And then having watched it from the start and then just being totally engrossed in it, it's been intoxicating. I can only imagine that's sort of the feeling across the world, given the lockdowns that various countries have been through. It's just been such a wonderful thing to experience.
What's grabbed you most?
I think that the Olympic spirit, in a sense of, it's been great for us to win medals. And I think it's true. You know, when we go over there as a team, those first competing athletes setting the scene, doing well and inspiring others within the Australian team. But it's the drawn medals, it's giving everything, collapsing on the final leg, getting back up, finishing races that we've seen through so many different events, that it's impossible not to be inspired if you're a sports lover.
And if you're a sports person, so do you find an affinity with the dedication and the years worth of work and then the almost the cruel assessment that takes place as you get one crack at it?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. You know, it's one thing to experience pressure, I think, in an AFL game where we get opportunities every single week to right the wrongs of the week beforehand. But this is, as you said, it's a four-year build-up. It's one opportunity for the vast majority of athletes. And if you don't maximise it, that's it. You know, there's something just, it's hard to comprehend the pressure that these athletes would go through. And then I think, you know, I look at, say, Owen Wright, for example, who has been an incredible surfer for Australia for a long period of time, but he's an individual athlete. You know, you go to different breaks, you compete against not only athletes from other countries, but surfers from your own state and your own country. But to see the surfers embrace the Olympic spirit, if you will, like, you can just see how much it means to them. Like, it's spine tingling watching it.
Do you find, so that the tyranny of the Olympics and then the capacity to recover. So I was wondering, with something like Jess Fox, where she has the biggest disappointment and then she has 24 hours to reset herself and then 24 hours after that, she has her greatest accomplishment. Does that interest you? Does the study of how to deal with it, park it, and it's publicly, it's actually an excruciating process, never mind the private side of it. She spoke in great detail with me about it in the aftermath. Are you intrigued by that?
Without a doubt, especially when you consider as a teenager, she won silver in 2012. So all of a sudden, you skip forward 9 years and some disappointment in between where she's the best in the world but can't show that, can't, you know, execute it, and then for her to do what she did under that mountain of pressure. Like, her father's commentary was just, like, you could tell he was trying to keep it cool, but it was just, yeah, there was something bubbling underneath it, you know. It was, and then to nail that final run. I mean, well, we.
How, so the sports psychology side of it is obviously a growing aspect to competing. Do you look into that much? Do you deal with your performances and emotions on that front, or is it a bit different in a team sport where you front up week after week after week?
No, you definitely do. It's certainly been something that there's been a huge amount of extra time, energy and effort put into it, certainly since I was first drafted, so in 2008, that is, well, 2007. And there's a far greater understanding of what it is and the benefits of training yourself in that mental capacity, in that mental space. The benefit you have in a team sport is that you can lean on, you know, your other teammates and they can help you through it. The challenge in an environment like so many of the Olympic events, is that you have your coach, but they still can't totally understand what it's like to be an athlete. Even if they'd competed in it years beforehand, things change. The way that the games are now covered, the ability to follow people on social media, that's an added layer of pressure that athletes beforehand hadn't had before. So, you know, it's all on the line for them. And, you know, that mental training is, I would argue, you know, every bit as important as the physical, because there's always talented athletes in every event. It's just how can you scrape out that extra percent, and quite often that's the mental side of the game.
So in all the teams and the individuals that we're watching, are you drawn to the boomers in the way that I am? There's a flurry of messages coming through, and just trying to pinpoint why it is. Are you a devotee to the boomers?
Oh, absolutely. And knowing Paddy Mills, he's had a big 24 hours with what's happening in the NBA as well. You know, he's been such a champion for us for so long, and that Superman cape comes on every time that Boomer's Guernsey's pulled over his shoulders. You know, it'd just be so sensational to achieve a medal. But it's going to be tough, you know, playing against this US team, who I don't think they're as good as previous teams, and probably not working as succinctly as probably other teams, but they've got arguably the best player in the game in Kevin Durant playing really well. So it's going to be an almighty battle.
Yeah, it'll be every bit of that. It'll draw us in for sure on Thursday afternoon. On the footy side of things, Paddy, so as the president of the PA, what did you think of the 2-match suspension for Jack Viney?
Yeah, it's probably about right. Like, it's not a... And I'm sure Jack would admit this, it's not something that we want to see in our game. Like, I understand it as well as anyone. You know, it's an emotional game at times, and things happen, but it's certainly something that we want to stomp out, and we want to make sure that as players we're conducting ourselves in a way that we're not only proud of individually, but also if you're looking at those around and those young kids watching, that it's something to strive for and not something to be disappointed with.
So every now and then there's an action that happens on the field which just doesn't quite belong, and it gets dealt with through the system, and usually it's just not seen again. Was this just one of those one-offs for you?
Look, I hope so. It's an ugly look, there's no doubt about it. And Jack plays on the edge, he's an aggressive player, but also believe him to be a fair player as well. So I don't think we should hang him out to dry. I think, you know, he's copped his whack. He'll no doubt be disappointed. And we all move on. We're just going to make sure that we learn from it as a code and individually, and we get better from it.
The challenges of the season maybe never more starkly illustrated than on Saturday. And you were probably in the air flying to Tasmania, and the flurry that happened in the aftermath is Conair, just the evacuation of one state. How many planes have we got? Can we get everybody out? What did you make of how fraught it appeared on Saturday?
Yeah, we were quite shocked. We arrived at, I think it was Essendon Air Base to fly out to Tassie with the North Melbourne players, and we saw Melbourne at the airport at the time where they were obviously flying north. So, quite extraordinary. I mean, it's, you know, full credit to the AFL with the way they've responded this season, you know, and particularly last weekend, but to get every game away, it's a huge credit to everyone involved, particularly with, you know, there's far less staff working in the building than there has been before. So, you know, they've done an outstanding job leading the way that they have. And look, it's quite clear whilst we just try and keep getting the games out, because it's so difficult to try and predict what could potentially happen. And, you know, COVID has thrown so many different curveballs.
Do you feel like we'll get there now, which is probably touch wood, through three rounds to go?
Yeah, I feel like we'll get there. But, you know, we can't sit on our hands, can we? We've seen just how quickly situations can escalate in other states, you know, so we've got to be so mindful of how we conduct ourselves as players, how games are worked through. Like it's a tough one, but we all must remain vigilant because it can just change so very quickly.
Have you at any stage had pondered the idea of fairness, which is a luxury that we can't afford? Every now and then I'm drawn towards it and think, oh, right. So in the compromises that are simply essential, I'm not sidestepping that for a moment. There are teams that are getting no favours, should we say. Do you have any reservations about that?
Oh, look, initially last year, that was certainly something that was discussed around how can this possibly be achieved in a way where it's fair for all teams. And pretty quickly it was, well, we're not going to be able to do that. But this is a worldwide pandemic, so we just need to do the best we can with the information that we've got and with the time that we have and the resources available. So it's not going to be fair for all. That's the simplest answer, because it just can't be. It's so difficult. But I think, you know, the AFL are doing the best they can, and we have a role to play. That is the AFLPA, regardless of, you know, how it displeases some at different stages. But that accumulative effect of multiple games over a long period of time, say the distance of a season, 5-day breaks, which has obviously been topical. This is the reason why, because whilst, you know, changes to fixturing might look good 1 week, that accumulative effect over a long period of time and come final season, sometimes we have to, you know, protect players and clubs from themselves, because we all want to play on Friday night and Thursday night and whatever it might be. But we're trying to do the best thing we can for all players. So it's a tough one. It's never going to be fair in this current climate. But there's as difficult as it is, there's more important things at the same time with regards to the economy of the game and ongoing how that affects all players, which I think they're acutely aware of.
Yeah. Yep. Patrick Dangerfield is with me this Wednesday morning. We'll take your call shortly, particularly around the Boomers. There's a great set of messages that are coming through as to why we feel so emotionally connected to them. Were you shocked that Alistair Clarkson's time at Hawthorn's coming to an end?
Yes. He's has been such an incredible coach. I was lucky enough to spend some time with him in 2015 with the international squad. It's been quite surreal. And I think in situations like these, you sort of always look back on your own personal experiences with different coaches. I remember in my time in Adelaide, there was a slightly different arrangement with Neil Craig, but the idea was that he would go on staff post his time as senior coach. And it's just one of those things that, you know, it is really difficult to navigate, quite clearly, because there's been plenty of teams that have had a go at it, but it just hasn't quite worked out.
So that idea of, is it alignment? That evidently there was concerns, trepidation around having two coaches. So how important is the notion of alignment for a player?
There's no doubt alignment is important, as is a robust coaching group where they challenge each other to get the best result for the team. So that is a balance, because you do want to be challenged, I think. Our coaches certainly do. I know Chris does. But at the end of the day, there has to be one voice that is, as much as it's a democracy, there is one voice that sits above the others, and that's the senior coach, and his final call is the final say. So it's a balance, and quite clearly Hawthorn have identified that Sam was their man to go forward beyond this. But, I mean, Clarko's he's been such an incredible coach. It's nice that he's not coaching as an opposition player, because, you know, he's like an extra player in the field for Hawthorn.
So just in theory, right, so Park Hawthorn, so a player wants, they want the dictator, they want the man in charge to set the tone and follow?
Well, every player will have a different view on whether they want the dictator, something more collaborative. So it's horses for courses, and there's different organisations that run things differently. So every coach has their strengths and weaknesses. Where their strengths are, you play to that. Where their weaknesses are, that's why you have assistant coaches in the roles that they're in.
Yep.
So that's the balance to be struck. And players will all have different views on. Some will deal well with not mixed messaging, but different messaging around the best path forward. And there'll be some that, find it difficult to navigate. And that's where the important part of having a mature playing group is also important.
And with three to play in the season, so just you personally, so you're 8 games back, you look like you've hit your stride over the past month. You told us when you came back that it would take a few weeks, given what you'd been through. Physically, are you exactly where you'd like to be late in the season?
Getting there, yeah. I've got a bit of a cork on the weekend, but apart from that, like it takes every bit of a month, I think. And I think it'll take even longer just to the recovery base, just how stiff the ankle feels. Like, it's been interesting listening to 360 and Adam Treloar sort of talk through his experiences with it, because everyone is different with how quickly it's rehabbed and your body reacts in different ways. So it's been unusual, simply because I've never had surgery before, but I can certainly empathise with those that have had issues with their syndesmosis injuries, because it just takes time. And once you get back, it's the balance of then getting touch in and then feeling like you can explode, you can pivot, you can turn on a 20-cent piece with someone tackling you and trust that, there isn't going to be the separation between the tibia and fibula with the band they insert between those bones.
Yep. Paddy, always good to catch up. Good luck on Friday night, and we'll see out these games and talk again in a couple of weeks.
Pleasure, Jared. Thanks for having me.
Patrick Dangerfield, sports fan, president of the PA.